Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to another episode of Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today I want to come to you guys with several different topics because I have been incognito. I've been busy. So the podcast today may be a little longer than usual just because there's a couple of things I want to cover. And if you hear echo in the background, if you are a regular listener, then you probably know I'm in Colombia. And one of my favorite places to be, and the place here just tends to have an echo. But anyway, the first thing I want to address is the economy. For some reason, we have a GDP growth of 1.1%, which is amazing. But we all know that the data has been tampered. So, you know, how in the world can we have a 1.1% growth in GDP and all these jobs have been laying people off? And it's not in the tech sector anymore. There's a bunch of regular large companies, and I'm not going to go down the list of companies because if you listen to this podcast, you're probably listening to other people and they're giving you the stats on all these, you know, companies that are laying people off. So with the GDP growth of 1.1%, with all of these layoffs that are now flowing into other sectors that are not tech, it's amazing how we can have that kind of growth. I don't know where it's coming from, especially unless you consider the fact that credit card debt is at an all-time high in the U.S. And so with that, the spending could have steadily been increasing because people are leveraging their credit cards, but this is going to come to a halt very soon. We're going to hit a wall. So let's say hypothetically that 1.1% is correct and credit card debt is where it is. If you have people whose incomes are not increasing, which I don't see how that could be because, you know, the economy is not doing well and people are getting laid off. If they're using their credit cards and interest is going up, so say, for instance, your interest payment is $135 a month for your credit card, that's another bill. In essence, it's another bill. So it could be a light bill. It could be whatever. My car insurance is like $125 a month. So that's equivalent to what my interest payment would be in this scenario. So if you have an increase in another expense and you're already over leveraging this credit card because you're almost at the limit, what do you think is going to happen with making the minimum monthly payment? You're not paying that credit card off. It's going to keep taking that balance up higher and higher. So then you're going to max that card out. So if your income is not increasing and you're steady using credit cards, the amount that you're able to spend in the economy is going to get less and less. And then you're going to be super over leveraged. And that's kind of what's going on with the government as well. So based on the amount of debt that we have, our payment is $6 trillion. And we're maxed out on our credit card, per se, as a government. So we don't even make $6 trillion worth of income to service this debt. If we don't make enough income as a country and we've reached our debt ceiling, which is our credit card limit in this case, what do you think is going to happen? Luckily for us, our government works magic and they once again increase the credit card limit or the debt limit. So now we don't have to worry about maxing out the card, but it still doesn't change the problem that we have. So as the interest rates continue to rise, so does that payment of $135, and that's going to just keep pushing us further and further to the maxing the card out again. So it doesn't matter if they raise the debt ceiling like they always do. If we don't bring in more income, then we're going to hit that ceiling again because the interest payment. So regardless if we don't do anything and we try to make the minimum payment, we're still not making enough to service the interest. And so that's where we're at right now. And so, you know, that's great that they can do that. But let one of us try to go to our credit card company and say, hey, I'm almost at my limit or I am at my limit. Can you raise my credit card limit? They're going to say no, because obviously the habits that you have or your current situation is going to put them at a risk of you defaulting and not being able to pay that debt back. So it wouldn't be smart if they were to increase your credit limit because you're already maxing it out. So there's something going on with your finances to where you can't pay this balance down or apply more every single month and you're paying their bare minimum. So they're not going to do that. With that being said, you can see where at some point in time, we're going to hit a wall because people are losing their jobs. Incomes aren't increasing and debt is increasing on the consumer side. So then they're not going to be able to go out there and spend into the economy. So there's 1.1% GDP growth is probably going to come to an end. And I know that is fabricated. We have been in a recession because if not, why are all these layoffs taking place? And they started in December of last year and they just increased drastically over the last couple of months and they're steadily increasing. And the housing market is changing. So I don't know how they came up with this number, but it's obviously fake. And if it's not fake, then we're in the last, maybe the seventh inning of the game. And we probably have another 2 or 3 months, maybe June, before we're in the ninth inning. And every single economic indicator in the history of time shows that we're heading into a recession, if not already in a recession. All of these indicators have, through history, predicted a recession. And it's been 100% accurate 100% of the time. So, you know, like I said, you guys have been listening to me for a while. And I've always said we've been in a recession. I just think we're heading into a depression. And so the unemployment rate is saying it's at 3.5, but it's higher than that. And I think when the data comes out in June or July, especially by the end of the year, we're going to have some kind of Great Depression type of numbers at the rate of where we're going. And the Fed is talking about raising rates one more time because inflation is still high. It's cooling down, but it's still high. So they have to do their job on that side. And you've heard me say before, I think we're in a inflationary recession, which we are. So I just think it's going to end up being worse than what people anticipate. And, you know, with this data that's coming out, I mean, we've been, the indicators have been saying we've been in a recession for like the last year and a half. And so in 2019, I talked about us going into a recession in 2020, and we were already headed there. And so we went up. You know, we hear 100% this before. We went up temporarily because of what happened. We're right back to where we were before, and we're past that. So I think it's going to be something more devastating than what people are ready for. And I talk about the economy a lot, but I kind of never give tips on what people can do to change that outside of investing in. One of the main reasons I have been busy is because The Epitome of the Mind was the book I have been talking about on the podcast. It finally came out. That's one reason why I kind of haven't been able to do podcasts, because I was trying to prepare for this book coming out. It came out April 18th. And I'm bringing the book up because in that book, I talk about how to shield yourself in any economy. I also talk about being agile in any economy. Those are two of the chapters in the book. And right now, I think that's what people need to do. You're right. So you don't need to be dependent upon a job, because obviously you're seeing that it's not guaranteed and it's not sector based anymore. It's not focused on technology. It's spreading around. But one thing you can do is be prepared. And I think a lot of times people have no idea that what they're currently doing as far as their job can be considered an expertise. If you've been working at something for longer than 5 years or working in the same industry for longer than 5 years, you're considered an expert. So I really show different strategies in the book on how to develop and understand what your expertise is and how you can leverage that working at your current job and bring in more income. So the issue is not having credit card. It's an issue having credit card debt. But the main issue with having debt, period, is if you don't have enough income to service it. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's not really bad using credit cards. No, it's not using, you know, a bad thing using credit cards, but it comes to a point of where if you can't service your debt anymore, that becomes a problem. So it's only two things you can do. You can only decrease your debt or increase your income. And so I remember one time I was getting ready to move out of California, and I was talking to my godmother. And I'm like, man, it's just so expensive for me to live here. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do it anymore. And she was like, I'm like, I think I'm going to go. And she's like, why don't you just make more money? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. And so that's what I did. And this is maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and it's worked out well. So I don't want people to think, you know, based on us coming into a recession or the economy doing bad, you are not able to bring in more income, or that you got to be at, you know, the mercy of your employer. Because if you understand how to figure out what your expertise is, you're going to understand how you can generate income. And for example, in the book, I talk about a guy who worked in customer service, and he knew how to do UX and design apps and things like that. And so with him being able to have this ability, what he did was he used that ability as a side hustle to generate income. Eventually, while he was working as a customer service rep, he used this expertise on the side to start generating income. So he was making like $4,000 a month, and then he started making $5,000 a month as a UX designer. Then after a while, he was able to supplement his income. So you can do something like that while you in your current role. If you have an expertise in doing something as a hobby for so long, you could leverage that and generate income as one example. But in addition to that, say you've been working as a, for example, my brother is an audio tech. He goes to people's homes and he does home theater installation and things like that. The other day, one of his clients or one of the people he helped out, they were like, hey, outside of work, can you come by my house and do this? He said another person asked him the same thing. So my brother's been doing this for a long time. Now he has people that are asking him to do stuff outside of his working hours. That's going to give him another income. That's not going to get taxed because they're going to obviously pay him cash more than likely, or however he works it out. So what I'm saying is you can leverage your current role in whatever it is because you're an expert after a certain time. And so you can leverage your current role. And I don't know, depending on what it is. I mean, if you work in the customer service, then you would be more like the guy that I mentioned before. You got to have a hobby or something that you're doing that you can generate income from. You just might not know it. And as for my brother, that's something clear that people love to do home theater installations. There's apps out there like Hello Tech that hire people to come in and do things like that. So in addition to him doing it from a 9-to-5, he can go on and create a profile on Hello Tech and be a audio tech on the side and bring an income that way. So it's not like he's going to be out of his wheelhouse, or it's going to be something that he's not used to doing. Like, he's an expert at it, and he's just leveraging another platform to generate more income. Like for me, I always say I focus on everything I do is in real estate or finance. So I wrote a book on finance. I got 2 real estate companies. I got a mobile app that's about real estate. I wrote a real estate investing diet as a book. You see what I mean? So what I'm doing is super easy to translate into other income streams. And that's another thing I talk about in the book, is having multiple income streams. And I'll show you how to do that. So I challenge you guys, if you want to leverage up doing what you're doing right now and not stepping out of your wheelhouse and not being like, man, I got to learn something new all over again to generate income, you don't have to do that. So in the epitome of the mind, I talk about how to do all of these things using your current skill set. So you don't got to go out here and learn anything new. I break all of this stuff down. So I think you should pick that book up. Like I said, it's a #1 bestseller in only, it's what, a week now? I mean, it came out on the 18th and it's the 28th. So I think you guys should pick it up. And if it's not a good book, then obviously you can return it. But I would not advise you to do that. I think it's a good book. And I talk about other things in there that will shape your belief system, because one thing that I also find out is that everyone has a handbook. And in today's society, there's a consensus going around that everyone has to agree, or if the masses agree on this, that must mean it's right. Everyone has their own handbook based on how they grew up, where they grew up, in their own belief system. So just because someone doesn't have the same handbook as you, that doesn't mean they're wrong or they need to be ostracized. And so that's kind of what's happening with today's society. You know, that went that way for whatever reason, but I think we need to go away from that and let people be them. So you're not going to have the same handbook as your girlfriend or your wife or some of your friends you hang out with, but that doesn't mean anything, right? It doesn't mean either one of you guys are bad or whatever. Even if you guys don't even have the same political views or religious views. And so there's a couple different narratives going around, right? We have this narrative that, you know, oh, that person is so bad because they believe this way and they don't believe it, you know what they call it, the woke mentality, or they have this victim mentality that is really rampant in our society now. And that's affecting people's ability to generate more income because they don't think they can do it. Or they'll be like, oh, well, I grew up over here. I grew up here. And because of that, I don't have this advantage or I can't do this.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I could get into real estate investing? You can change this as quickly or as slowly as you want to now. Imagine yourself networking and making new connections in real estate globally, or buying an investment property in a market or country that fits your needs. People do. They know what I'm talking about. And now you can too with InvestFar. Connect and join the network. Remote investing made safe and easy.
I'm going to tell you guys something. I grew up poor. I grew up on food stamps. I've been homeless. I've almost died a couple of times. And the last time was almost a shot in the head. I heard the bullet whiz past my ear. I fought. I did all of these different things. I hustled. I grew up in certain environments that made me that way, right? We are a product of our environment. But here I am doing what I'm doing. I've written two books. Two have been a bestseller. I have a mobile app. I run multiple companies and I travel the world. And I have 140 IQ, which puts me at 0.4% population of the entire world. I'm not saying any of this to brag. I'm telling you my story. Nobody gave me $1 million to start any of my businesses. No one. I wasn't born with that IQ. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I had someone coming to me pouring knowledge into me. I put the work in. And because of that, because of me gaining so much knowledge, because of me working hard, because of me doing what I did, I've been able to create value on a large scale to a lot of people, which in turn generates income for me and it increases my net worth. So what that tells you is someone like me with my background doing something like this, anyone can do it. In this day and age, it's more of a lapse in mindset versus resources because technology has bridged that gap. I was talking to one of my friends the other day and we were talking about how easy it is to become a millionaire in today's time versus in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, because you didn't have access to information. You didn't have access to technology. You didn't have the resources that we have right now. All the things that I learned, I had to go to the library and consume a lot of books. But with technology, you have podcasts, you have YouTube, you have all of these different mediums that you can get. The amount of time it took me to go read a book, I can go online and Google, and it's going to provide me with a summary of the book, the bullet points that I need to know. It's going to give me everything. So, for example, I'm doing some different stuff to my car. You know, back in the day, you would have to take your car to a body shop or like somewhere to get the interior done or anything like that. I went on eBay and bought some items that I would have had to go to the dealership to get back in the day, or auto parts store. That came to my house. I went on YouTube, put in what I needed. It allowed me to take that video, go sit in my car, watch the video, and do everything that I need to do by myself. And guess who made money doing nothing? The person on eBay who sold me the product, the person they bought it from, and then the person on YouTube. They didn't do anything but once. They uploaded the product. This person uploaded the video. That's it. They're all generating income. So you can't sit here and tell me that it's this person's fault that you're not being successful in this day and age. And so the victim mentality or the narrative that's going around is what's causing people not to go out there and generate more income because they expect someone to give them something, or they expect something in return because of something that happened hundreds of thousands of 200, 300, 400, 500 years ago. And that's an issue, right? So most of the time, this narrative is preventing people from taking ownership of their own life, their own income, their own finances. And that's what I see a problem is. And I think the epitome of the mind also addresses how to shift your mindset from that and being able to unlock your income earning potential. And so a lot of times, most of the stuff that's circling around is very preventative and it's not conducive to your success and you living a life. I mean, everybody wants to travel and go and be in Colombia recording podcasts, looking at houses, or going to Europe or going to Mexico and relaxing and still making money. And you can do that. There's nothing preventing people in this day and age. It's only people preventing themselves. And so I think everybody has their own internal representation of themselves. And, you know, if you hear someone say something that's broad and it elicits some kind of response or emotion from you, that's because your internal representation has been triggered by something that person said. And so, like, with this narrative going around, if someone says something that resonates with you, that's because your internal representation honestly believes that. And so it goes back to the handbook. Most of the stuff that goes around, everyone's handbook is very similar. And the people that are in the top percentile of income earners, they don't have this same internal representation that the masses do. So they don't feel like they're hampered by how they grew up or their upbringing. Because again, if one person that looks like you is doing something, that means you can do it too. And you can do it better than that person as well, because that person is this one thing that I do like about technology. And what I say, the technology has bridged the gap, because before you couldn't send a message to LeBron James or you couldn't send a message to Michael Jordan. You can't just direct message your mentor or someone you want to mentor you or an investor or someone like that. You can literally go on Twitter, Instagram, or any kind of platform that you can communicate on. And if your mentor is on there, you can send them a message directly. And if it's compelling enough, that person is going to respond to you. This did not exist years ago. So that's what I'm saying. This, you have way more access to be successful and get the right people in your circle to help you do that than any time in history. And it's only going to get better. So if a person is not making $1 million or becoming a millionaire in this day and age, it's because they don't want to, and their internal representation of what they believe in themselves won't allow them to think that they can do it. And that's the biggest issue that I see in our society. And that's because of social media, and it's mainstream, and it's, you need to reprogram your algorithm to take in information. And the only way that you can reprogram your algorithm is by what you're putting inside of you. And if you're on social media looking at certain things, if you're taking up different content from the media, and if you're not reading certain books that are feeding your algorithm, it's not going to change. And so that's what I think the main problem is. People's internal representation or their handbook needs to change, and their overall life will change. And the Epitome of the Mind addresses those things in detail. I mean, step by step on what you to do to reprogram your mind. And the earning potential is based on someone's own limitations. It's not anyone else. So if you want to earn more income, it's on you at the end of the day, because, I mean, there's really no reason that you can't. And you having a particular job, especially for a long time in the same industry, gives you that key as well. Without you having to go to Harvard, I didn't go to an Ivy League college, right? You know what I mean? I didn't do any of that stuff. But yet still, I'm one of the smartest people in the entire world. That's because I put the work in, going to the library, reading books, listening to podcasts all the time. I don't have any kind of social media. So I have Twitter, but I don't have anything else. So I don't get inundated with, oh, my algorithm's not messed up by what I'm getting fed by something that has nothing to do with me, that's going on in an entirely different part of the world that doesn't even support anything that I'm trying to do in life. So I'm only feeding myself what I need to be fed to get where I'm trying to go. So I think that's what people need to do, and your life will change. One thing to point out is that I obviously have gone through NLP training, neuro-linguistic programming. So I have been able to reshape or reframe a lot of the things that happened in my past. To once you are able to reframe certain things, you can turn almost any situation into a positive. And a lot of times for people to accomplish the things that they want to accomplish, you have to be in a positive state of mind. With so many distractions and things going on in our life, it's hard to do that if you don't have the tools to be able to do that. And most of the time you don't. I mean, I didn't have any of the information on how to reframe and change my own situation until recently. And so because of that, I think I've been able to generate the kind of life that I've wanted, because look, I mean, when you grow up in certain environments, it's almost impossible to see that you can get to the point of where you can write books, or that you can create your own company, or that you can generate $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $5,000, or even $1 million a year if you don't believe you can. So I take some of the practices and the skills that I've accumulated over time, and me becoming a certified practitioner of NLP, I'll put that in the book, because you need certain affirmations. You need certain things to reprogram your mind. It doesn't just happen like that. So my goal was to provide what I've learned, like I said, going to YouTube, going to getting all of that information in a condensed amount of time. I put it all in a book. So I put down how you can do what I did, because anybody really can do it if you program your mind the right way and you change your internal representation. If you want to go somewhere in the physical, you must first go there in the mind. And that's kind of what I'll talk about in the epitome of the mind. And once you do that, I swear to God, your life will change and turn out the way you want it to. People oftentimes link success to education. And in today's society, everyone associates education with university or college or things like that, which is not true. Albert Einstein quote, I love it. It says, education is not the learning of facts, but the training of the mind to think. That's all education is. And you can do that on your own, riding your car, commuting to work, on your free time, going to the library, podcasts, reading books, listening to certain people on YouTube. That's all you need to do. That's what education is. So let go of the narrative of the victim mentality, or that you can't be whatever you put your mind to, because you are your only limit. You really can be limitless. I'm not saying don't be realistic. Like, if you're 39 and you're trying to go to the NBA, that's probably not going to happen. But I'm saying keep it within reason. You know what I mean? But if you go based off your current expertise that you will uncover, especially reading the book, you are your only limit with that regards to generate income in a realistic manner of what you've got going on. But if you're in your, 15, 16, 17, 18, yeah, you can go to the league. You can be the president. I mean, it obviously don't matter what color you are if you want to be the president, because it's already been done. So if you say, oh, no, I can't be the president because I'm black. Yeah, right. It just happened. But anyway, guys, I just want to hop on here and give you some information, because it's been a while. It's probably going to be a little bit longer before I do another podcast by myself, because I got a lot of interviews coming up. They're good. There's some good people that are coming on that are going to be able to provide value as well, because these people have realized what their expertise is and what their purpose is and their value that they can bring to society. And so that's why I like bringing the people on here, because if you haven't noticed, majority of the guests that I've had on here have a similar background to me. They didn't grow up with money. And I think that's one of the misconceptions that most people have, is they think every millionaire, every person that made it came from a lot of money. I got a pretty good net worth. And I didn't come from money, like we talk about it. So it doesn't really matter. I just think that that's the narrative that goes around. And it's been like that forever. So that's what I think is one of the major things that need to be changed with people's internal representation, is that they believe that that's what happened and that's how these people got money. And it's really not the case. The majority of millionaires grinded and work hard, and they started from the bottom. And for those people that did make it because they had someone who gave them some money, most of the time, those people end up squandering the money within 3 to 5 years because they weren't able to be good stewards of what they received. I mean, it's like when you got skin in the game, or if you pay for your own shoes, you're going to take care of it more than if it was given to you by somebody else. That's just kind of how it goes. But anyway, guys, once again, I wanted to hop on here, but pick up the book, and Pity Being the Mind. It's on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, and all those places like that. But if you get it on Amazon, you can get it the next day. But anyway, guys, take care, and I will see you on the next episode.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast-track and put you on a path to full-time investing. The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money. Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.